and we are going to continue our coverage of the Sean Bell verdict on today's Reporters Roundtable. We'll also take a look at the latest from Zimbabwe, and Republican nominee John McCain is on the trail to woo black folks. For more on this week's news, we have radio host Cynthia Pryor Hardy. Her talk show, On Point with Cynthia, airs from Columbia, South Carolina. Also, Cheryl McCarthy, she's a columnist for Newsday, a New York newspaper. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we just heard from NPR's Robert Smith in New York. Cheryl McCarthy, you're with Newsday. What do you feel the mood of the city is right now?
Well, you know, I thought that while it's a very sad day, I thought that the families, the Sean Bell families' response to the verdict, although this must have been very painful for them, very disappointing for them, the fact that they walked past the cameras, did not take this opportunity to make any kind of angry statement or try to fire up the crowd, this went right past the reporters and went out to Sean Bell's gravesite. And it was a very eloquent statement about their feeling about this verdict and about what happened to Sean Bell.
Well, let's listen to Leroy Gadsden of the New York State NAACP. He spoke outside of the courthouse after the verdict was announced.
This case was not about justice. This case is about the police officer having the right to act above the law. If the law was in effect here, if the judge had followed the law, truly, these officers would have been found guilty.
Cynthia, do you get a sense that protests from the NAACP or from other sources will cause a ripple effect, not just in New York, but that this case would be talked about in other parts of the country?
Thank you. I am hopeful that that will be the case, but I'm more hopeful that the leadership will come from within the community. It's very sad because people had expected a different verdict today. What's happening across the country in terms of police brutality is well documented, and I think people feel as if I see it, why don't you? And what happens is resentment breeds within our communities when it appears that there's an all-out assault on certain races or genders in our society, and certainly black men do often get the short end of the stick. I hear the argument to the contrary all the time, but then something like this with Sean Bell occurs, and it makes the point. The correspondent a few minutes ago pointed to the fact that even the mayor, right after this occurred, indicated that it appeared to be excessive force and that it seemed unacceptable and inexplicable. But today, those seem like empty words, certainly to the family and to people across the country paying attention to this case.
I also want to play a clip from a spokesperson, Patrick Lynch, of the New York City Patrolman Benevolent Association.
This sends a message to New York City police officers that when you were in that position, when you were in front of a courthouse, when you are in front of that court bench, that you will get fairness. And that is what New York City police officers need each and every day. Every time a police officer goes on the street, there is never a script. We have to deal with circumstances as they come. This was a tragedy with a death. It's a tragedy for all police officers that have to live with the difficult job we do. But nonetheless, we're grateful for this outcome.
So, again, NPR's Robert Smith brought up the fact that it is a different environment in New York now compared to, say, the Giuliani administration. Nonetheless, Cheryl, this must be a moment when there is an increase in tension between the New York City police and some of the communities of color. How do you see things playing out, whether it's mediation from the mayor or mediation of the situation by the police officers?
Well, you know, and this goes back to something that Robert said, you know, quoting Judge Cooperman as saying, you know, carelessness is not a crime. And when you have cases like this, and we've seen them before, the cops will say, you know, well, we were, you know, we have to act on the spur of the moment and we were feared for our life. But, you know, carelessness is a crime when you're a cop carrying a gun, and you start shooting at people. You start firing, you know, 30 and 40, and people start dying and get seriously injured. And, you know, and the sad thing is that we continue to have these, I think every case has to be, you know, judged on its own particular set of facts. But when you continue having these situations where you have black men who are found not to be doing anything illegal, not to have a weapon, and the cops fear them, and fear their lives are in danger, generally, I think, because they are black men, and cops, you have cops who fear black men and just suddenly think they're in danger because they see black men. And these people who are not doing anything illegal wind up dead. That is a serious problem, you know, and, you know, there's going to be repercussions. I mean, you're going to almost definitely have some kind of civil judgment. The city, the taxpayers are going to wind up paying millions of dollars probably to the Sean Bell family and to the his two friends who were injured. And that's probably appropriate. But yes.
Let me get Cynthia in here. Are there any echoes of this case in something that might have happened in South Carolina or your region?
Oh, absolutely. In the last few weeks, the South Carolina Department of Public Safety has been all over the media. All these tapes have been released. Their car cams have recorded mistreatment of African Americans, of women. You've seen them using their cars to run over suspects in an effort to stop them. And so here in our state, the NAACP and the South Carolina Legislative Black Caucus they've worked together with the governor of the state to try to bring about some resolution to some of the things that are occurring there. But I think what it points to is police brutality and excessive force misconduct all over the United States.
I'm going to have to jump in, and I want both of you to hang tight with us for a few minutes. We are going to return with our reporters' roundtable after a break. This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. We're continuing our conversation on our reporters' roundtable. We have radio host Cynthia Pryor Hardy. Her show, On Point with Cynthia, airs from Columbia, South Carolina, plus Newsday columnist Cheryl McCarthy. Hi, folks, and we're going to just jump right back into it with a different topic, international news. Yesterday, the U.S. officially got involved with the Zimbabwe election situation. Voting took place over a month ago, but President Robert Mugabe's government never released the votes and the results of the votes. And now the U.S. is declaring that opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai won the presidency. Now, some say the U.S. didn't do enough when the election problems first started. And Cynthia, when it comes to situations like this, where there have been historic tensions between Zimbabwe and the U.S., should the U.S. get involved? And if so, how?
Well, you know, I think certainly the United States, as other powerful nations, have a responsibility to the rest of the world when they think they see injustices, particularly injustices that relate to human injustices. We see so much going on there in terms of so many people hungry, so many people homeless, you know, so many people being being inflicted actually themselves by all of the confusion that's going on there. However, when I talk to my friends from that region, they say that the United States should not. They indicate that while the United States may feel as if it's Big Brother coming to the rescue, Western influence is perhaps the biggest problem that countries like Zimbabwe face.
Cheryl, when you are looking at this situation, we're hearing now about violence. Zimbabwe police have raided the headquarters of the opposition and of independent election observers. They're taking away voting materials. Reportedly, police have also arrested and beaten hundreds of people. Now, in addition to that, China sent a shipment of weapons to Zimbabwe, but for nearly a week, the ship was detained in different ports in Africa. So it appears the ship's on its way back to China due to this boycott. When you look at the violence on the ground, but the fact that arms were not able to reach the country, is that at least the glass half full?
Well, I think it's certainly appropriate for the, I don't know if it's half full, half empty. I think it's a very bad situation, and that Mr. Mugabe, who's headed the country for 28 years, cannot step aside and let somebody else run it for a change. But I do think it's appropriate for the United States certainly to express its deep dissatisfaction, its criticism of what of Mr. President Mugabe's refusal to release the results of the election, what his party is doing against the opposition party. And I think it would be appropriate, you know, certainly to have some kind of boycott to say that this denial of human rights is really something that we don't want to support and that we are really strongly against.
I'm going to move on to yet another topic because it's all fast-paced on this Friday. Cynthia, Republican nominee John McCain is on a week-long tour, often being called the poverty tour. He's taking time to reach out to black voters. In Selma, he praised U.S. Representative John Lewis, who suffered serious injuries during the civil rights movement on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Do you think this is going to pan out for McCain in terms of having reached to non-traditional Republican voters? Let's just put it that way.
Well, one thing's for certain. McCain's got a lot of time to fill. And I don't know that it's not a good use of time for him to go into African-American communities and to hear what people are thinking and what people are feeling. I can't imagine people not appreciating that, especially if he goes to it with a degree of sincerity. I think people want to be reached out to. You know, and when it comes to it, you know, people might say, well, you know, McCain's in the African-American communities, and you wouldn't normally find him there. Well, when it comes down to it, the candidates that are coming through our communities, whether it's Clinton or Obama, we normally don't see them either. You know, so I think it's not a bad thing, you know, for him to reach out to African-American people and to reach out to people and hear what they're thinking and feeling.
Cheryl, yesterday McCain toured the Ninth Ward in New Orleans, criticizing the Bush administration about its slow response after Katrina. He called that slow reaction terrible and disgraceful. Now, Bush and McCain have had a long, tense history at points. They were once competitors for the presidential nomination. Do you think now that with McCain going into the election, being the candidate, getting the president's endorsement, they're going to put those issues behind them and work as a team, maybe even the current president going out on the stump for McCain?
Oh, I definitely do, you know, because, you know, the Republicans want to win again. And they're going to have to pull together in this election. So I do think that they're going to put some of that behind them, and you're going to see Bush out there for McCain. But you're just following up on what Cynthia said. I think it is, you know, McCain has a terrible record, both with the ACLU, with the NAACP, and on civil rights issues. It's amusing to see him down there buying quilts from the black women in G's Bend and going to Selma, where I gather most of the people who turned out were white. And it's probably not going to pan out in terms of votes, but from black people. But it's good that he's doing that, that he is getting exposed at this late date to what black communities and poor communities, what their concerns are, because, you know, there's a 50-50 chance that he may be our president. And so it's very important for him to be exposed to that.
All right. Well, Cheryl and Cynthia, we got to wrap it up here. Thanks so much.
Thank you, too.
Thank you.
Cheryl McCarthy is a columnist for Newsday. She joined us from our studios in New York City. And Cynthia Pryor-Hardy is the host of the radio talk show On Point with Cynthia.